the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Chelsea won, as you've been hearing, at Anfield last night. Delighted to say that Caoimhe O'Neill of The Athletic is with us to chat about it. Good morning to you, Caoimhe. Can you hear us, Caoimhe?
Hello? Sorry.
Hi, Caoimhe. How's it going?
My internet connection's unstable. A little bit like Liverpool at the minute, I guess. Another defeat. Pretty woeful from Liverpool. You know, I mean, it was only 1-0, so you can take some slight positives, I guess, from that. But, you know, Chelsea looked like they could have scored many, many more goals last night. And I don't think the defence was necessarily Liverpool's worry last night. It was the attack again, you know. No shot on target until I think Gini Wijnaldum's header, which never looked like doing anything. And that was late on, about 10 minutes from the end. So just not another not very good performance from Liverpool at home. You know, the fifth defeat in a row, which is just unacceptable for a team of Liverpool's stature, for a team who are currently champions. I think, you know, for all the injury woes and, you know, having no fans in the ground, there's a lot of reasons why things aren't going right for Liverpool at home, or just indeed in the last couple of months. But I do think at the end of the day, there's a lot of good players there, players good enough to be, you know, putting in better performances than that. And it was just another confusing sort of scratch your head kind of night from the champions.
Do you fear that the slide is going to continue before things get better?
There's a good game at the weekend coming up. That's at home. You can put that right against Fulham. I think, you know, like Liverpool did against Sheffield United. But again, you know, these are teams battling out for relegation or already look, you know, like their fate is sealed. So, you know, Liverpool have got to put in a strong performance now and just show, you know, what they're about, but they haven't been doing that. And, you know, the Champions League spaces now do look far away. You know, there's teams above them. The likes of Everton have got a game in hand. Chelsea look really, really strong under Thomas Tuchel. You know, things are looking difficult for Liverpool now. It's difficult to say whether they can pick it back up, you know, because this is a team who, you know, this time last year, we were all singing the praises, and the year before, the same again, even the year before that, you know, so rightly so. We should back them to be able to do that, especially under Jurgen Klopp. But, you know, that form at the minute just isn't good enough. And, you know, Liverpool need to fix things and quite quickly. You know, I think, like, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's, you know, you're always kind of worried going into the game about the defence and how that's going to pan out, but it's the attack that has needed to bail Liverpool out. And since that 7-0 win against Crystal Palace, they just seem to have, it's just been hit and miss, hasn't it? Really, and mostly missing. And, you know, a lot of them haven't been on target, which is a real big problem.
One of the parts of that problem is Mo Salah, who hasn't looked brilliant in recent weeks, shaking his head as he walked to the bench last night. I think Jurgen Klopp before that was screaming at him to track back and help out defensively, and Salah's reaction wasn't great, and the initial reaction then from the bench was to take him off. Has that been a theme in recent weeks, Caoimhe, Klopp's unhappiness with Salah?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Salah's Liverpool's top scorer this season. He scored a hell of a lot of goals again. You know, his record speaks for itself. But I think maybe, I don't know, I got the impression that Klopp wants his players to just stand up more and be counted. And Salah's done that time and time again for Liverpool. He's bailed them out a lot of times. And, you know, the goals, as I say, speak for themselves. But I don't know. I think it was a decision that, confused fans. A lot of fans thought he got it wrong. To bring Salah off. Obviously, you think Jota was always going to come on, and he was the one bright spark, I guess, from Liverpool's night. But, you know, again, it was sort of just a weird sort of mix of substitutes, I thought, from Klopp. I think you bring Jota on at half-time, maybe Naby Keita wasn't quite ready to return, but it just felt like a game that needed a little bit more in midfield, and, you know, that's what we're missing, I think, with Fabinho playing further back. But then Chelsea were in behind so often that if Fabinho wasn't there, I do worry the scoreline might have got away from Liverpool sooner. But you know, Salah's professional, and I think he'll just crack on and get on with it now, won't he? And Klopp said after the game, you know, his intensity wasn't quite there, and he didn't want to risk him, which you know I think a lot of people were confused at. But you know, I think it's good to see when Salah gets mad to go off. I think it's like in the past, this has happened with Mane as well. You know, you don't want to come off the pitch because they want to score goals. And I think that's the kind of hunger you want. And maybe in a kind of way, this will work out for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool. They'll have to hope it does, and it doesn't, you know, just start something with Salah that he don't want. But obviously, you know, there's a big game coming up against Fulham at the weekend. They'll likely start that. You know, Liverpool fans will be desperate for goals.
At what stage does the concern begin to become real about Mo Salah and his future? He's been linked away from Liverpool at times this season. Nothing overly serious, it seems, in those links. But I presume that if Liverpool are a Europa League club next season, those links all of a sudden become a little bit more concrete.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there'll be players wanting away. It looks like Gini Wijnaldum's probably going to leave Liverpool, doesn't it? But it's, you know, it is interesting with players like Salah. Will he want to stick around and you know, and fight it out in the Europa League or even without Europe? And I don't know what it is a difficult thing for a lot of players, probably. The likes of Thiago's come to the club, you know, expecting that Liverpool are going to be playing Champions League football. But then their performances haven't been good enough for Liverpool to be playing Champions League football. So you can't, you know, you can't almost sort of use that as your excuse to leave if you are going to leave. But, you know, I think Salah's pretty focused. There was a little bit of a, you know, he was disappointed last night, but I think he, you know, he'll get on with it. If he does look to leave in the summer, then, you know, that'll be a massive loss to Liverpool because he, you know, his goal scoring record is that good that, you know, he can keep on breaking records for Liverpool, you know, and get as close as he can to Ian Rush's all-time record. That's how good Mohamed Salah has been for Liverpool. So to lose any one of those front three, I think, would be a loss. But then, you know, Firmino's performance again last night was hit and miss, and you thought he was the player likely to come off for Jota, but, you know, Klopp stuck with him. I think, like you mentioned, for that defensive side of the game, he at times looked like he wanted to press a little bit more than others, but again, it wasn't the same full-on Liverpool we've seen in the press. And I think, you know, when you're playing the high line, you need to press. And the pressing was there a little bit, but it just seems they've taken a real knock to that giant mentality that they had, and they're just struggling to climb back up that hill. But yeah, as for people leaving in the summer, I wouldn't... Liverpool fans might be thinking into that now, but that's one for a couple of months' time, isn't it? A few months' time. You know... Even without Europe, that's kind of a tricky thing for Liverpool financially. We know all that. But then as well, it's kind of like you've got the run on the league. But as we've seen this season, nothing is easy.
Mm. Just on the defensive side of it then, Cuiva, the I know Jurgen Klopp was asked about it afterwards last night, and he said about the poor defensive performance, and he said it was the quality of Chelsea, which seemed like a bit of a stick and plaster response to what is maybe a deeper problem, and particularly in relation to this high line. It seems remarkable that given that went on last night, and the Werner offside that was like by his fingertips, that was desperately unlucky, obviously, on his side, which could have made the result, obviously, a little bit worse as well. Any indication from him that that's something that he's likely to change at any point, or is he just so far into it now that he's just going to tough it out?
It is that sort of time now that it's become a question again. At first, when Van Dijk got injured, it was like, you know, that was sort of where the trouble was almost. Well, I think before Van Dijk, to be honest, obviously the Aston Villa game, you know, they exposed Liverpool's high line for all it was. And, you know, that was a real, felt like an anomaly. But looking back now, you know, there was probably a lot we should have really thought about that game now. But I think in terms of changing the whole system, that would probably be, you know, something he's already been looking at maybe doing. But it's such a big thing to do, and it's a big decision, and it can't guarantee results. And it's the way they've been training for the past few years, and it's just changing all that. But, you know, there have been slight tweaks to it. But again, it's whether Klopp needs to just go, right, we need to do something completely different. But you wouldn't imagine that will come against Fulham. It probably should have came last night against Chelsea, with given the Thomas Tuchel just seemed to tell his players to hit the ball over the top, and you know that worked wonders, didn't it, for them, albeit they only won by a goal to nil. But you know they looked like they could have scored many times, and you know it's not a position Liverpool fans are used to finding themselves in, with the defence so exposed and open, and you know obviously without the presence of Van Dijk, that's always going to be the case. But you know Liverpool on a one-man team, and they never have been. This team is full of winners, it's full of talent, and no matter sort of how they play positionally, Klopp's always been about, you know, players don't play a position almost, they just play, you know, play the game, they have to play that intensity, they have to press, and I think that's what Liverpool need to just focus on now more than anything, rather than a massive change to the formation. Maybe we'll see more of a 4-2-3-1 with Jota, that can happen. We've seen that in the past, and that worked well for Liverpool earlier this season. So maybe a return to something like that. I think defensively, the high line, I mean, maybe it could benefit massively. I think all of us from watching, knowing that it could come back 5-10 yards, and that'd leave Liverpool less exposed. Especially because the midfield don't seem to be doing the job that they usually do when the high line is so high. They need to be pressing much better, and they're not doing that at the minute. And, you know, that's a problem for Liverpool.
Yeah. And like, even in relation to that, in terms of the high line, like, even you would have had a situation from which the goal came last night, where a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I know you wrote a piece about him on The Athletic during the week, would have possibly snuffed that out. But even listen to Ashley Cole last night, he was very critical of him in the TV coverage. He said that he... poor positioning, poor anticipation, not driving out quick enough, poor decision-making, lethargic, not great labels from a player who knows the position, obviously, to be talking about Trent Alexander in that regard. He did look all of those things. What's your sense of that? Is that like, is there almost an element with some of the players that they themselves have acknowledged that the line is too high, and they're a bit maybe wanting to change that themselves? Or what's your sense of his form at the minute?
I think it's, you know, against Sheffield United, Trent Alexander-Arnold had a brilliant game. He sort of went under the radar a little bit for his performance. It was really mature of him. He dropped back into defence. Sometimes it looked like he was playing in a back three. And, you know, Robertson again last night looked like he was getting forward a lot more than Alexander-Arnold was. And, you know, I think that's maybe just down to, we know, obviously, Kabak is only 20, and, you know, to keep people closer to him, and you know, keep that defensive back line stronger. And you know, they can't go furiously running forward as they have done in recent seasons, because that cover is just not there. And that cover a lot of the time was Fabinho. You know, looking at the fouls and tackles he made last season, a lot of them came towards the left or the right. Like, as much as he's a defensive midfielder, you think that those would come, you know, quite centrally. But a lot of the time he was filling in for when Alexander-Arnold or Robertson would go forward. And, you know, they're not being allowed that almost now, because, you know, Fabinho's missing, Henderson's obviously missing, Van Dijk. You know, I think that's really affected their game, while you've seen the drop-off in numbers of assists, etc. But again, you know, you can't shy away from it. It was a poor performance from Alexander-Arnold, and you know, for the Chelsea goal, it felt completely avoidable, didn't it? And it would have probably ended 0-0 if not for that. Well, it would have, but I just you know, I feel like he just didn't show a lot of energy there. Fabinho almost never as well. You know, he came across, but he didn't quite look like he was. He knew what Mason Mount was capable of, and he was always going to, you know, try and cut in and take that shot on, which he did wonderfully. But yeah, Trent did look a little bit leggy, but again, you know, Liverpool have played a high amount of games. This is a big sort of period for them now, where they play a lot of games in a small amount of time. You know, they've got a game now in a couple of days. They've got to turn things around again. I think with Trent, that, you know, people criticise him a lot, and that's because of the level, the bar he set. It's just so high. So, you know, when he does have a performance like that where it doesn't look good enough from him, he's always going to be called into question, and that's something he just has to deal with. You know, he's still only 22, and, you know, some of his passes last night were brilliant and ridiculous, but it kind of gets overshadowed by, you know, Liverpool not winning the game and losing. And, you know, I think you can't sort of pinpoint one player at the minute because it's, you know, everyone sort of at fault. Thiago doesn't look himself. Wijnaldum, you know, had a great game again against Sheffield United and has been one of Liverpool's players of the season. You know, didn't quite look good enough. And then when things are falling right for you, everything seems to fall into place. But obviously, you know, Mane had that brilliant chance, which he just, you know, completely missed. And Firmino had a similar one where he should have took it into a stride. He didn't. Curtis Jones as well. There were sort of three big opportunities where Liverpool were bearing down on goal. But, you know, sometimes when things aren't falling for you, or there's just that lack of belief in yourself or in what you're capable of. And when the results haven't been coming your way, you know, Liverpool seem to have fallen to that a little bit, but, you know, they'll have to get back on the feet. And, you know, you'd expect a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold to be playing in Liverpool's first team for a long, long time to come, you know, playing for England. And he's a brilliant player who, you know, his season has been a little bit topsy-turvy, but I think that's sort of been, you know, Liverpool's season for a lot of players and indeed the team.
On the topsy-turvy nature of it, like Adrian points to the Ashley Cole comments last night, it's always about Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively. Like you mentioned, some of the passes he played last night, really, really good. And I know that in your piece this week for The Athletic, there was a comparison done with João Cancelo. And Cancelo has had questions in the past of him defensively. And I think he's really outstanding this season because of what he's offering when Manchester City are in possession. But I wonder, Cuiva, for the sake of preserving Alexander-Arnold's confidence, is there this move now next season into a more of a midfield position? Granted, the right back doesn't exactly have a lot of depth. There isn't anybody there to step up and be as good as Trent Alexander-Arnold in that position. But is there an opportunity here to move him further up the pitch to avoid the defensive lapses that he finds himself in and to take advantage of the brilliant work that he does on the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, incrementally those changes have sort of been coming into place this season, just without obviously Van Dijk and Gomez there. Alexander-Arnold has been creeping, you know, his touch percentage map shows that he's been creeping sort of from that right flank into towards centrally. You know, he's making more touches there than he did last season, albeit very, very small, but, you know, it is creeping up. And I think that's just maybe, you know, his natural sort of way of playing and the way he wants to, you know, get hold of the ball and make things happen. But again, you know, whether we'll see him in an actual midfield role, I'm not too sure. Just because he is one of the best right-backs in the world, whether, you know, we know form's temporary and, you know, what he's shown in the past, that doesn't go away. You know, while there are maybe questions defensively, I don't think it's something where Liverpool will question it week in, week out, saying, oh my God, you know, Alexander-Arnold can't tackle, because he can. And, you know, he does make tackles and he is a good defender, and that's why he plays in defence. Obviously, you know, the best side of his game is that getting up the wing and, you know, his crossing ability and his passing ability. But, you know, it has always been the question around Alexander-Arnold whether he will be able to go into midfield. And, you know, that's the place he started playing. He got moved to right back when he was younger. And, you know, it does feel something that is inevitable. But then at the same time, again, why would you move your best right back and one of the best, you know, right backs in Europe to the midfield? And then that becomes a sort of like, how do you revolutionise then, you know, like how Pep Guardiola's done it with Cancelo. And, you know, we've seen players like Marcelo do it in the past where, you know, they're playing at right back, but they're just cutting into midfield and, you know, they're just going for it really. And they're taking control of the game, they're driving into there. But to do that, obviously, you'd have to have the cover behind them. So maybe, you know, when Van Dijk returns, Gomez returns, Fabinho can get into midfield again and sort of scoop up the ball when it comes loose and, you know, be that defensive screen that he's brilliant at being. Then maybe we'll see Alexander-Arnold's role really, you know, hit the heights and start moving in a different direction. Because, you know, I think to stay at the top level, you can't just keep doing the same thing. You've got to keep changing. And, you know, Liverpool are a little bit on the deck at the minute. They've got to get themselves up and you know, and start tweaking things. And I think, you know, from my piece, it did show that he is sort of thinking a little bit more in terms of, you know, controlling the ball in midfield, moving into there a little bit. But again, he's so potent and has been on the wing. So, you know, I think you'll continue to see him there. And, you know, he's still got a massively bright future ahead of him at Liverpool.
Yeah, and as one commenter on Twitter here, Dirty Harry says, one other factor to consider from last night, Chelsea were brilliant, which of course we haven't given them half enough credit for either. One question before we let you away, Cuiva. A sad week for the for Liverpool Football Club and the passing of Ian St. John. He was a kind of a cross-generational personality almost, like I would have known him growing up as the guy from the TV, but a real club legend as well.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I just knew him as the Saint. Like, I didn't actually know, you know, he had a full name because it was just everyone, you know, any time he was on the telly or you'd see old clips, it was the Saint. So, you know, Ian St. John, an absolute Liverpool legend and a part of, you know, that first Shankly team to win the cup and, you know, sort of set in motion now what we're seeing at Liverpool and, you know, all the trophies that have come from then, they have to start with one. And it really did feel like it started with that FA Cup. And, you know, what a legendary figure. Everyone who's you know, put out tributes to him this week have just shown, you know, what a lovely guy he was, you know, on the pitch, a legendary player. And then off the pitch, you know, all the work he did in the media and stuff. And, you know, just fans' own stories about him were brilliant. Like I put up a little picture when I'd met him at the Open at Hoylake in 2014, and you know it was raining and I was working in a car park. I was in a big high-vis coat, and you know he come over and we you know we said, oh, can we have a picture, after sort of, you know, showing us his car where to be parked on this big muddy field. And you know he was happy enough to get me under his umbrella and take a picture, and I was just like absolutely buzzing with that. And you know, couldn't wait to get home and show my granddad, because you know you hear all the old stories of all the old players. And you know, really, really sad. So thoughts go out to his family and obviously his friends. Yeah, absolute Liverpool legend.
Yeah, for sure. Cuiva, it's been great chatting to you this morning. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thank you.
Cuiva O'Neill there of The Athletic, and you can go on to The Athletic to check out her work.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.